Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for coming and being a part of this landmark in 2019. I've been blessed to be a part of Landmark since 1992. And, you know, as I thought about that sitting there, I thought, you know, my life has been two step forwards, one step back. And you know what God says that is? Progress. It's progress. Our lives are a journey. You know, Pastor Dale said the supernatural. The Lord said to me, my people are looking for the supernatural, all the while are looking for the spectacular, but all the while the supernatural is in the process of discipleship. Jesus didn't say to go out and make converts. He said, go out and make disciples. Disciples are those who are following after the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's a broad statement, because what do you see in Jesus that you want to be, that you want to follow after? And see, what it is you see in him and desire of and honor, that's what you'll become. Amen. I'm really grateful from a former Catholic who didn't know the word at all. And I mean didn't know the word at all. We got a little epistle, a little gospel, that was it. And was able to step right into Church of the Word International. I remember sitting at a Bible study at Ann Sills with Dale, and he was preaching the word. I got invited because my son and Ann's daughter were dating, so she asked me to come to the Bible study. And I remember sitting there, I have no clue what he was preaching, but this is what I remember and will as if it was yesterday. I have finally found what I've been looking for my whole life. And what that was the practical application of the Word of God for me personally. That is what I was looking for, because I read this book and it was like reading Greek. My eyes glossed over. I was born again, but I couldn't grasp the understanding of how to apply it personally. Everybody say personally. Because that was the first step of my walk with God, was I wanted a personal relationship with him. I didn't want to know about him. I wanted to know him personally. I wanted this word that he spoke to become me. Now, I didn't know how that could happen. I had no clue. I knew I was changed in my born-again experience, but I didn't know how to eat and drink and saturate and abide in this to where it became who I was. Changed from that to this. But I wanted it. And I think that's the key. I think it's the key that God is looking in each and every one of our lives. What do you want? He can't give you what you don't want. He is not the bulldozer that will come in and bulldoze your life. He's not. He is looking. He's listening. He's attentive. Because he loves you, his Holy Spirit, the Father's Spirit is within you. He's very attentive to your thought life, to your talk life, and your do life. Very attentive, because you belong to him. And he takes care of what belongs to him. But because he's not a bulldozer, he's very attentive to what you want and what's important to you. And what you don't honor in Jesus, you're not going to receive. What you don't honor in one another as a body of Christ, you will not receive. We were talking about this at the table. It's kind of a funny story, but it's a true story. 16 years ago, I went into a hairdresser salon with about the same length as Terry's hair, but dark like Kelly's, and perm. Now get the picture. Perm, dark, shoulder length. Walked in for the first time, and she looked at me, the owner, and said, "You would look good as a blonde." First word she said to me, never saw me before. And I looked, this is what I did. I looked at her, and then I scanned her beauty salon. She had four women working for her. It was clean. It was decorated nicely. She was the owner. And my next thought was, she has paid a price to have this salon. She knows what she's doing. And I looked at her, and I said, "You're the master. I'm the clay. Do whatever you want." Right out of my mouth. See, I honored the gift in her and the giftings in her. I wasn't jealous. I wasn't comparing. I wasn't feeling inadequate or, you know, none of that. I honored what she had established in her life. And because of that, I gave myself over to it. And this is how I came out. Within an hour. And 16 years later, I still love it. There's something so beautiful and pure about the body of Christ that I think believers just haven't really got a hold of. And that is, we need each other. And the superstar left 2,000 years ago. His name is Jesus Christ. And he turned around and he threw his full anointing on the earth for us. And we all have a piece. And as we use our peace effectively into the fullness of what the Father had intended for us to be, we will live out his destiny, his heart's desire for each and every one of us. We won't compare, because I don't want your gifting. I won't be jealous of you, because I have something that God gave me to do. And I want to be fully persuaded and fully engaged in doing what the Father's will is for my life, not yours. I think if we just fine-tune these things in our life, we'll be much happier, more content. And isn't that what we all want? Just to do the will of the Father for me personally. I can't do yours, and you can't do mine. Amen. The Lord said this to me: "Do you want to be nearsighted or nearsighted or farsighted?" And I went, "Neither." I was thinking in the natural. I don't want either. And then I, as I meditated on that, I thought, "Wow, Lord, in the spiritual, I want both." So this is something the Lord spoke to me Monday night during worship, and I've been meditating on it, and I've been thinking about it. And I hope I can get it over to you. Being nearsighted and farsighted in the spirit realm is something we should desire. Farsighted is pretty much what Pastor Bill taught Monday. The why. Why? Why are you doing anything? Why do you exist? Why do you do anything? What is your why? That was so powerful. That was such a powerful truth. I just grabbed hold of it. And the why is, I'll remind us, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you think, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you say, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Because in the end, that's all that's going to matter. Some scriptures to go along with that is Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the beginning and the end, the beginning and the finisher of our faith. We're to walk by faith, aren't we, as born-again believers? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you will, if you want. And then put your finger in that to Philippians 2:16. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so I fight I, not as one that beateth the air. There's intentionality to your life. There's purpose. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself be a castaway. Life is a contact sport, isn't it? Hallelujah. Turn to Philippians 2:6. And why do we do this, or 16, is because we're holding forth the word of life, the precious word of God. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labor in vain. Yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and the service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with all of you. See, it's not really so much how you begin, because some have begun well. It is all how you finish. Your finishing is very crucial to your todays. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And I think we drop the ball in this area of our life. I really do. Because we're so focused on the far, which is our eternal heavenly home. You know, some just want to check out and get there early. So they're very far-sighted. And they don't put value on the nearsighted, what's going on today. Everybody say today. Hebrews 3. Chapter or verse 6. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house we are. If, I pay attention to those ifs in the Bible, by the way. They're conditional. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. Are you reading that in your Bible like me? Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. As in the day of provocation, which means rebellion, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your father tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, there, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. And they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take heed. Say, take heed. Brethren, lest there be in any. Say, in any. In. Say, in. It's not out there somewhere. It's not circumstances. It's not other people. It's in. Right here. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily. We are to encourage, edify, lift up one another, because the world sure isn't doing it for you. If we're not the ones encouraging, lifting up, edifying, building each other up in the faith, it's probably not going to happen. We got the living Christ, the living Holy Spirit within us. Lest of any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness. The job of the enemy is to deceive you. He really doesn't have any other tools. If he can convince you that God did not say to you, then he's got you. There's nothing new under the sun. How he started, he's still operating. The word of God is true for you, or it's not. Amen. So he'll try to deceive you, the deceitfulness of sin. For we are partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. There it is again. The nearness, the nearsighted, is our todays. Your todays build your tomorrows, your weeks, your months, your years. I don't think we value today as much as we should. I don't think we embrace it like we should. Today is the only day you have. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here yet. And all you have is today. What are you thinking about today? What are you saying? Either death or life is in the power of the tongue. They that love it will eat the fruit of it. You know, we gloss over that scripture, but it is one of the most powerful scriptures in the Word of God. If you knew me 25, 30 years ago, I was the best complainer and murmurer on the planet because I had a lot of problems. And all I did is look for people who would listen to me murmur and complain because I didn't know better. I didn't know the Word of God. No one taught me Proverbs 18:21. I was ignorant of truth. And so all I did was talk death. And all I did is dig my problems deeper. And Satan was laughing the whole time. He loves your ignorance of the Word. Loves it. Takes advantage of it. You know, the only thing he wants is territory. He wants territory in your brain, territory in your pocketbook, territory in your body, territory in your kids. That's all he wants. And he's after it. I think he's more organized than we are. More passionate. Today is super important for each one of us. When I was in that place and kept coming day after day after day after day after week after month after year, a whole summer, right, Pastor Dale? Three ladies sitting in the front pew. Three of us, hungry. See, I was at a place in my life that I was desperate for God. And if I did not get a hold of him, me and my kids were going down the tubes. And I knew it. I was aware of it. See, a lot of times you're not recognizing even where you're at. It's la-da-da-da-da-da-da. You're too busy, too distracted to understand. We're in a spiritual battle for your life, for your family. I was acutely aware of my circumstances. And if I did not get a hold of this truth, we're losing it. We're going down. God only knows. I didn't know, but I was scared enough to know that I was desperate to get a hold of God. And I emptied my calendar. I didn't care about anything. I quit a job, for God's sake, a 20-year-old job with insurance, so that I could pursue the things of God and take a leap of faith into an area, an arena that I had no clue where was it going to take me. I mean, I had four kids with no insurance now and no money. But somewhere in me, I knew I had to get a hold of God. And this man had that church open 24/7, it seemed. And every time it was open, I drugged my kids. My kids were drugged for many years. And then I'd pay them to listen to his cassette tapes back then, cassette tapes, pay them to listen to it and give me a page written what they got from it. I'd pay them. And I didn't have the money to pay them, but I would do whatever it took to get the Word of God in them. I was desperate. How desperate are you today to hear from God? See, desperateness will change you. It will change you. John the Baptist, turn to Matthew 3. I love this. Oh, he was in such in your face, wasn't he? You know, I needed that because my emotions were boo, boo, boo. The Word of God has leveled me out, brought in a discernment. I was accused all my life of living, wearing rose-colored glasses. And honestly, for the most part, that's my default. I'm going to believe the best in you. I don't care what I see or what I hear. I'm going to believe the best in you. And I thank God that that's still intact. But I'm not falling for anything. I'm not. The discernment has come into my life. Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist said, verse 2, repent. Everybody say repent. That is not a four-letter word. It should be a part of your vocabulary. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I find it so fascinating and interesting to flip over one page into chapter 4 and hear and verse 17 and see, from that time forward, Jesus began to preach and said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Isn't that something that John the Baptist, first words he said, and the first words Jesus said? Now, he takes it a little step further, and I think that's something we all need to pay attention to. Look at chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. He said to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, who are all puffed up in pride, hey, we're the generation of Abraham. We got it all. We got the law. We got it all. We got everything. You don't look at us and try to tell us anything. And he came back, he said, you generation of vipers. You talk about jerking the slack out of them. Who has warned you to flee the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits, meat for repentance. A lot of people just say, I'm sorry. And that's just because they got caught. True repentance in the Lord is making a change. Let me tell you something happened to me this winter. I'll be very transparent because I can't tell anybody but me. I believe we're entering into a season of time that God has prepared for us. I really believe that with all my heart. You're not here by coincidence or by chance. God has ordained you, equipped you, enabled you to be a mighty minister of God for such a time as this. And you might not see a whole lot of change in your life, but I believe God's brought you to this point. But this is what I see happening. He is narrowing the road. He's putting his thumb on areas of our life where we've been complacent, passive, lukewarm, distracted, and deceived. We bought into the lies of the enemy, and we think it's okay. And God's turning up the heat. He's doing it with the church before the world. See, if you're not aware of this, then you're not even in tune to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. You're still blasé. I'm serious. We are in very, very serious times right now. Very serious times. This is not the time to play church. You're going to be sideswiped. You're going to be hit with a 2x4, and you're going to be reeling, wondering what the heck hit you if you're not awake and aware and listening to what the Holy Spirit's telling you. Say me. Because you got a part to play in this, and you better be ready. So, I don't know about you, Holy Spirit's jerking the slack out of me. And I want him to. I've given him permission to. I'm agreeing with him. I'm lining myself up with him. I'm saying yes and amen. And this all started six months ago, and I said to him, with a super consecration, I want more of you and less of me. And I meant it. But I had no clue what that meant. Holy Christmas. But I meant it in my heart, and he knew it. And this is what I have found out through several experiences. Some I've shared, some I've not, but this one I have. For those of you who know me at all, I love having dinners and decorating, and I would go all out for it. I mean, all out. The gold silverware, the placemats, the napkin holders, the cloth, you name it. As more glitter and gluts that I could get, that's how I did it. You know why? I think that's what the Lamb's table is going to look like when we get up there. He's not going to hold anything back. If the roads are gold, why not have gold silverware? It's just how I think. Let's just think like God. Right? That's how I think. So I don't hold anything back. I just, you know, my side of heaven's going to be sparkly and glittery. I don't know about your mute European look. Mine's going to be the glitter and the sparkle. That's how I see my God. So I've done it for so many years with this gift of hospitality because I love to create an atmosphere of God. And, you know, the last thing that Jesus did is give a meal to his disciples. And the first thing we're going to do when we get up there is have a meal. I just, in my limited mind, figured meals are pretty important to God. So I just added the glitz, and it's important to me. So I, through the years, that's what I've done. And it's not for me, it's for you. I wanted to be a blessing to you. I wanted you to feel like a king and a queen when you came, and feel full and satisfied and blessed. That was always my motive. So, guess what? Guess what happened this winter? We move into this big house, Kevin, Kelly, and I. We've been living together off and on for the last, how many years, Kelly? Off and on. A lot of years. And I'll tell you why. This is my daughter in love. She and I have a heart of a mother-daughter because we're spiritually connected. And that's been the key of our successful relationship. When there's been any kind of difference of opinions, we go to the Word. And we let the Word rule the disagreement. And that's been our key to success among just absolute hearts of love for one another. But so when we moved in this big house, I was so excited because I got to bring my dining room because they didn't have a dining room. And I'm all excited. I've got visions of gold and glitter and champ. I mean, I just got it all. It's all just permeating in my head. And then I get these words. I don't like your dining room set. It's old. Ugly. Dinosaur. You could have taken a sword and pierced my heart. I'm just being really transparent. The breath left me. I'm going, I know I didn't hear what you said. Wait a minute, let me clean my ears out. So this went on and on. And on, and I'm telling you, I'm feeling a huge struggle in me. And now a distance. Being honest. She is remaining strong in her opinion. And I'm doing everything I can to change that opinion. I'm being honest. So what happened? You don't have a dining room set. You got people coming for the holidays. All right, well, all right. But it's got to be gone January 1st. Oh, praise God. So it's up it comes, and, you know, we put the china in, we have china, and we do all the whole thing for the holidays. Oh, my heart is feeling so great. And all of a sudden, January 1st comes. Now what? Hey, we said January 1st, on it goes. I said, yeah, yeah. Back and forth again, back and forth. All of a sudden, my son, who's E.F. Hutton in the house, says, Mom, you have to the end of the week to decide what you want to do with the dining room set. Okay. Well, I know that's the final word. I got to abide by it. So I went upstairs in my little bedroom on my desk with my Bible, put my head down, and honest to God is my witness, I just sobbed like a baby, sobbing. That was one day. The next day, that morning, back at my desk, just sobbing. I mean, sobbing. I hate to even say this because it's so childish now, but it wasn't at the time. And I'm sobbing. I'm crying out to the Lord, Father, I can't do this. I don't know what it is in me that is this such a struggle. I mean, I'm being so transparent with the Father. What is it? I can't do this, Father. I don't know what it is. Please help me. Those are great words, by the way. And the phone rang. Right then. Looked at my phone. It was my sister Peggy. Now, I've been mentoring my sister Peggy for I don't know how many years spiritually. And she and I are very connected in the spirit. We love the Lord. We just encourage each other all the time. She called me and she says, "Hi, how's my wonderful sister that I love this morning?" That's how we talk to one another. I'm just crying. She said, "What's the matter?" I said, and I just pour out my heart to her. I said, "I don't know what's the matter with me, Peggy. Come on, this is ridiculous. Why am I having such a hard time?" And she says, "I know exactly how you feel." I stopped crying.
"You do?"
Yeah. She proceeded to tell me how she had a, and I know this, but she never explained to me her journey, of how she had to downsize from a house and go to an apartment. But this is what she did for me. She pulled down her journal and she gave me scriptures. God had given her scriptures of downsizing, of releasing the load and that weight that so easily besets you, and narrowing the path. And it was like, I think, the fourth or fifth scripture. That's all it took. I lifted my hands, started worshiping the Lord. "Father, I thank you for setting me free from this. I see it in your word, what you want me to do." And that is the final say. And both of us just worshiped God for about 10 minutes on the phone. I said, "Peggy, thank you for being obedient to the Holy Spirit. You have just, the word of God in you have just set me free." And I came downstairs and I told Kelly, "Kelly, the dining room set is yours." "Great, I'm going to paint it white." I think I did that for a second. And then I went, "It's yours to do whatever you want with, honey." And I released it. And let me just tell you something. Pastor Dale mentioned this too. See, you should grab gold nuggets. When the Holy Spirit speaks, there's gold nuggets just for you. Might be not the whole sermon, but there's a gold nugget. I'm a believer in gold nuggets. When you give alms, when you give, whatever it is, God honors giving. It does something inside of you. And sometimes your giving changes something in you that you didn't even know you needed changing. I did not know that that thing held such a tightness of identity on me. I identified myself in that gift instead of the gift giver. And I made that transition that day. And I've never looked back. And I've entered into a freedom, a dimension of freedom that I have not felt in my entire life. It has totally, radically changed my life. And we may laugh at that little story, but what's your dining room? What thing in your life has God been knocking at the door at, and you've dismissed him, either out of ignorance, deceitfulness, distraction, busyness? "It's the way I am. It's just the way I am. It's who I am. It's what I am." And all this time, the Lord's been knocking on that and saying, "No, it isn't. But you have not allowed me to change you. That's why you are going around the mountain over and over again. Not seeing victory, not seeing fruit, because you've bought into a lie of the enemy. The enemy does not want you to have new territory. He's not willing to give up the territory that's his." Did you hear what I said? Some of us are not even aware that there's devil territory in us. We're not even aware of it. But when you ask the Lord to show you, I'm telling you, if you're real, transparent, and want it, say want it, he'll show you. He'll tell you. And maybe he'll use a two-year-old child to do it. That'll deal with your pride. Yeah. I have found, I'm just so blessed to be living with Kevin and Kelly and the four grandchildren because I have my antennas up to receive from any avenue something from the Lord today. I love today because I want to change today. The Lord promised us that he would change us from glory to glory, from faith to faith, and that happens in your todays. If you're waiting for tomorrow, you'll miss it. If you live in the past and you just think you can't, you've bought a lie from the enemy. You're literally saying the blood is not enough for me. That's the truth. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. God wants you to be set free to be all that he had in his heart before the foundations of the earth for you to be. And no one can be that but you. No one can limit God in you but you. But if you're willing and obedient and want it and are desperate enough to do whatever it takes to get it, God will make sure you do get it. And the best thing you can get from God is change. Because I don't want to be the same person I was yesterday. I want to be filled with more of God today. Amen. So being nearsighted, the importance of today is abiding in the Word, attending to the Word, making it first priority. Joshua 1:8 is such an important scripture for all of us. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth. But see, mouth, I love the way he put the mouth first, because out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth will speak. And if I'm not putting it in my heart, it's not going to come out of my mouth. See, if you plant a garden, it doesn't take me much intelligence to look at your garden and know what you planted. Right? You don't have to pretend. You don't have to shove it underneath the rug and say, no, that's not really me. No, I'm looking. I've got eyes to see. I'm observing and discerning what you've planted. It's not hard for spiritual people to understand that, is it? We do manifest. And you're manifesting what's in your heart and what's coming out of your mouth. People can locate you where you're at very quickly if they're spiritually discerning. You can't pretend that. I'm sorry. You can try all you want, but you can't pretend it. So what do? We attend the Word. We abide in the vine. We come under the authority of the Holy Spirit today. Because I don't know about you, yesterday's under the blood, and the important thing, the only important day to me is today. I can change today. Right? How do you eat an elephant? One day at a time. One bite at a time. But how do you change? One day at a time. Consistency comes through praise, prayer, obedience. Those are three that I come up with. When a mother asks me what's the hardest thing to being a parent, which I have five fabulous kids and 15 beautiful grandchildren, what's the hardest thing? Consistency. When you say that, is probably the hardest thing for a human being is being consistent in doing the right thing every day. But let me just tell you something. When you build momentum, once you make a decision, this is what I want, and you start taking steps in that direction to get to that point, you start building momentum. You start being more consistent in doing the very thing you ask God for. He will work with you. The Holy Spirit will not do it for you, but he will work with you to help you do it. In these days that we're living in, you need to be farsighted, understand why you're here, where you're headed, what's the finish line. All for the glory of God, but you get there by living nearsighted, embracing the Word, listening to the Holy Spirit, becoming intimate, not knowing about God, but knowing him. I love what Pastor Bill said, I believe it was you, about the beloved disciple. I love what you said about that. I never heard it before, but I always wondered why John was called the beloved. Why did he have a greater intimacy with Jesus? And it's because he desired to understand Jesus. I picked that up. See, that was a gold nugget. So when you approach the Lord and you're really practicing the presence of the Lord is all day long. You know, Holy Spirit. What would you like me to meditate on? What scripture? I love what Pastor Dale says, percolate in the Spirit. You don't have to have just a devotion time and then live for the devil the rest of the day. Percolate all day long. Pray in the Spirit. Get a scripture. Attending the Word isn't reading through the Bible. It is, but it's getting a scripture in the morning and meditating on that all day long. Letting it become you. The fiber of your body, your spirit, soul, and body. God will bring revelation all day long from one scripture. It's beautiful. What is that? You're getting into the heart of the Father through the living word, Jesus Christ, who knew the Father better than anyone. He said, I've come to show you the Father. John longed to understand Jesus. And because of that, it was a drawing that Jesus had. It was a two-way street. See, relationship is two-way. It's not one way. If you're waiting for people to knock at your door and you're not out knocking at doors, you're delusional. You've bought a lie. Christianity is a great relationship. It's two-way. It's interactive. And the more you're interactive, the better the relationship. That's 101 common sense, right? These are important things that as God is knitting our hearts together as one in these times, and he is, we need each other. This is not the time to be an island on your own and seclude it. It is not the time. We need each other. We need each other's gifts. We need each other's anointings. We need each other everything. And if you don't understand this, get with the Lord, please, and let him talk to you. Let him bring scriptures to you to verify this, because it is what's happening. I don't want any of you to be unaware of the days we're living in. Amen. Be nearsighted and be farsighted. Embrace today. Make it important. Make it super, super important. Amen. Father, I thank you for this landmark. I thank you for this day and these teachings and the anointing and the power of your Holy Spirit that is so in operation in our midst. Father, thank you for the gold nuggets. Thank you for the awareness. Thank you for waking us up to the value of today and where we are in your timetable. Father, it's so wonderful to be alive today. It's so wonderful what you're doing in each one of our hearts, upgrading, increasing, exploding, pushing back the stakes, making the tent bigger, doing all these things. And it's your work. You're doing it. We're just cooperating. We're just saying, yes, do it, Lord. So, Father, thank you so much. We're so grateful. We're grateful kids to be alive in this time. To do the will of the Father. It's such a privilege to say the same thing Jesus said. I've come to do the will of the Father. Father, whatever part we have to play, help us do our part. You don't expect us to do everything, but you do expect us to do our part. And Father, thank you for equipping us and giving us that encouragement to do all that's in your heart for us to do. We give you praise and glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Bill.